Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, it's Dave Player in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. So it's Memorial Day, and that, of course, reminds me and all of us on how grateful we are for the service of all the men and women who serve our country. My grandfather, Joe Gendy, was a World War II veteran. My father, Leroy Player, served in the Air Force. I lost a very good friend of mine, Shane Mahaffey, in the Iraq conflict 10 years ago. And there are so many organizations across the country who serve our military, but there's one that's I discovered that's a real standout. Leave No Veteran Behind is a national 501c3 nonprofit organization that invests in veterans to build better communities through employment training, transitional jobs, and our Veteran Educational Debt Relief Scholarship. Leave No Veteran Behind invests in heroes who have served their country honorably and who seek to continue their service as assets in communities across America. And joining me this morning are the founders of Leave No Veteran Behind. That's two Army veterans, Roy Sarton and Eli Williamson. Good morning to both of you, and thank you for your service.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Eli, first tell me a little bit about yourself. You served in Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Yes, I served in both the Iraqi Freedom, and I also served in Afghanistan as well, Enduring Freedom. I'm a veteran of both conflicts. I'm also a native of the south side of Chicago and a product of the Chicago Public Schools, Kenwood Academy. Got back to Chicago maybe about 7 years ago and with Roy, and we basically co-founded a non-for-profit that invests in veterans basically in two ways, both in education and employment.
And Roy, tell us a little bit about your background.
So I was in the Army Reserves for 8 years, served with a unit out of Iowa, did a year and some couple days in Iraq, came back home and in 2008 and got with Eli and we started Leave No Veteran Behind.
I was going to say, you had a kind of a life-changing moment 13 years ago. It wasn't really in combat, but it was about your college loans.
That's correct. So I got back from Iraq in 2005 and was in my next training station, and I got a call from a student loan company saying that my loans had came out of deferment, and that basically I owed $2,200 in 20 days, and if I didn't pay this debt, I would default on my student loans. And if you default in the military on your student loans, you lose your security clearance. At the time, I had a top secret security clearance, and then you probably get booted out the military.
So that was an opportunity to do something and make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We started off with the idea that we're going to write Oprah a letter. Roy was, well, go ahead, Roy. He was.
Yeah.
No, so in my situation, I was actually in combat. So, and my mother, you know, at the time, everything was going on in the news. My mother was, you know, gaining weight, just really couldn't even look at the news at the time. And here she is complaining. I think it was like an $82, $83 payment to a student loan company. And because of I had mailed everything off, but because of some small loophole, they wanted me to make payments even while in combat. So I had a situation in which I actually defaulted the day that I returned home. They wanted me to make a $15,000 payment. And at the time, I had the money from the military, but that was just enough money to get me back on my feet, finish up my degree, which I did finish. And it was just a really awkward time for us.
Well, most Americans assume that the GI Bill guarantees U.S. Armed Forces personnel access to free post-secondary education, and that's just not necessarily the case.
Yeah. So basically what you have is you have certain loopholes. The first loophole is that Roy and I both completed some form of higher education while we were in the military, and the GI Bill doesn't work retroactively. So it doesn't pay for education that you've attained, even though the military gives you rank for that education. The second piece is that the old GI Bill, which was not keeping pace for the cost of tuition, well, there are a lot of people who basically had to take out loans because they were under that last program. And so you've got a subset of veterans who basically have student loan debt.
State Player on 720 WGN. In for Steve Cochran this morning. celebrating Memorial Day. Great way to support our troops. And we're talking to Roy Sarton and Eli Williamson from No Veteran Left Behind. So, gentlemen, talk to me a little bit about the scholarship program that you do, the retroactive scholarship program.
Well, obviously, that letter to Oprah didn't work.
So. Okay, yeah, exactly.
So we're going to send this letter, and ultimately we found out there are other veterans basically had the issue. We told other veterans, they came to us and said, we're having the same issue. And so we put our heads together and came up with a really interesting idea. We said, basically, most scholarships are based on potential, i.e. do good in high school, we pay for college, throw a ball real well, we pay for college. But what we said is, if you are a veteran who has student loans, who have completed some form of higher education, served honorably in the military, have some type of economic hardship, then basically, and of course not be covered by existing educational programs, then we would take in dollars, apply those dollars directly to your student loan account, paying off your debt in full. We would then require you to give back 100 to 400 hours of community service based on that debt.
That's based on their skills, based on education, and all that other good stuff as well.
Correct. That's correct.
You know, veterans, you mentioned this, veterans receive the highest quality training the world has to offer because they allow or allocate a significant percentage of them in the strategic advantage of maintaining that highly skilled armed force. Then we have veterans returning home to the economic barriers of unemployment and underemployment, and you provide transitional jobs and training programs about that too. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So when we started this mission, it was a tough thing. I mean, no one had done a retroactive scholarship before. And so one of the ways for us to actually continue that mission was to look at the economic hardship, which was usually unemployment, but more importantly, underemployment. And we set up what we call a transitional jobs program, where we actually employ veterans transitionally, give them skills training, and then place those veterans in long-term employment. Now, as a not-for-profit, we're the ones paying the wages.
Right.
Very cool. Very cool. And you do stuff with the communities you serve as well. Much of what you do is youth-focused. Tell me about your partnership with Chicago Public Schools and the Safe Passage.
So we actually started the Safe Passage. Well, I shouldn't say started the Safe Passage program, but we were the first. We were doing it when it was free. So Chicago Public Schools reached out to us through a partnership we had with a local Chicago police officer and asked us. There was a corner on 35th and King Drive. They were having issues where all of these schools came and converged and said, is there anything that you could do? And so Eli, with his great mind and some of the work that he did overseas, we implemented positive youth engagement. And so by just changing the culture of that corner, we quickly changed some of the issues that they were having on that street corner on 35th and King Drive.
That's very cool. And you do that in support of other routes as well, right?
That's correct. So after that first year of us as coming out as volunteers, and I just one piece to that, too. The reason we started volunteering is we paid off a veteran student loan, and that veteran, that was his community service project. He's a police officer by the name of Haki Gherkin. And so after that first year of having success on those specific days, Chicago Public Schools, we work with Chicago Public Schools to create, the framework for a lot of the Safe Passage work today. And now we're at several schools, and we serve over about 10,000 kids a day are covered by us.
That's very cool. Tell me about STEAM Corps.
Yeah, so STEAM Corps. So we had two really interesting guys on our team who took the transitional jobs piece to the next level, Rob Walker and Alvin Walker. We call them the Walker brothers. They don't look anything alike. One is Jewish and one is like from Liberia, Africa.
Okay.
But both of them have very robust skills in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And they said, Eli, we want to do mentorship with youth, but specifically want to engage these youth around their interest and aptitude around STEM. And so they put together STEAM Corps, which engages youth around bicycle repair, horticulture, and solar technology. And it through that practicum, they actually teach kids opportunities and the fields of STEM. And basically, based on their interest and aptitude, we try to place them into other opportunities that will allow them to develop their skills.
Veterans, have you helped so far?
Oh, wow. So right now with our scholarship, we have helped 10 veterans. About $150,000 in student loan debt has been relieved by the organization. Just with our transitional jobs program, veterans and youth, we've provided transitional jobs for over 800 veterans, youth, community members, and veterans' families. We've paid out about $4 million in wages. And then, of course, every day we're helping about 10,000 kids through safety services as well. So it's been a long haul, but we've been pushing hard.
Now you also have an association with the Pritzker Military Museum and Library as well.
That's correct. We're very supportive of them. They, the Tuani Foundation and the Colonel Pritzker has been supportive of our program, specifically our STEAM Corps and safety programs.
Now, we've got to help, obviously, our servicemen and women transition back into the workforce. And a report last week stated that military spouses, I was looking at this, struggle to find jobs and are more likely to work for less pay or in positions below their education level, which spurs unemployment and costs almost $1 billion a year. They have an underemployment rate of 18% compared to last month's national jobless rate of 5%. And the problem's not new. It's not new to the Pentagon. And in recent years, has triggered a flood of new programs aimed at encouraging companies to hire military veterans and spouses. So there's a struggle to make ends meet, even for the entire family while they're serving. And that's why these transitional programs are so critical.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, I think most people focus on unemployment, but the reality is you have a mismatch in understanding of what veterans and their families are capable of. And the other outcome is that they eventually end up taking the first job available, not the right job available. And so this issue of underemployment is one that you address through transitional jobs, because we provide wages and a flexible schedule so that they can actually go out and get some type of long-term employment without having to be over the barrel when they do that.
Now, how can you help?
And donate.
Yeah.
One of the toughest parts about this environment, and we all know it, is that there's donor fatigue. You know, you've got organizations that aren't very efficient. Roy, what's our efficiency on donor dollars?
So about 84% of our dollars go directly to the veterans.
That's fantastic.
And the vast majority of that is direct salary and scholarships. We're looking at 75% of that goes right back into another veteran's hand or their family's hand or some of our youth partners. And so for us, we're really looking to help the veterans that are in our program. And we're also looking to expand in some other areas that need this type of work as well. So that's a big thing. The second thing is, of course, talent. We've never wanted for talent, and one of the reasons we're very explicit about asking for it. So if people have the ability to help us grow and help us do our mission better, then that's something that we're very, very excited about.
Well, you say on your website, even $10 helps, but you're always looking for corporate sponsorships and larger donations as well.
Absolutely. We always, you know, we have a $10, 10 for 10 campaign, give 10 and find out 10 other people who give. And the reason we do that is we always want anybody who is a program participant and anybody who's a friend and family to be able to support us monthly. So if people want to give $10 a month, that's great.
And also, you know, talent as well. So, I mean, this summer we have a huge solar project. So if there's anyone out there that's interested in coming out and teaching solar education to our youth, you know, we love it. Please go to our website. And, you know, we're definitely interested in more than just the $10, but your talent as well.
Very cool. It's terrific that organizations like yours are taking matters into their own hands and raising money privately to support our veterans. Thank you, both gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
And for more information on how to donate, visit LeaveNoVeteranBehind.org. Thanks again. Enjoy your full day.